Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What is up?
I think
I'm ready to go. How are you, big dog?
We can't waste a second. Thanks, man.
How are you, big boy?
Yeah, love getting those big dogs.
How are you, buddy?
Been getting a lot of boss lately.
How are you, boss?
A lot of boss. The big dog, that's...
boss.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a product of getting older, but I get a lot of boss, and then big dog is always there. Hey, big dog. I don't know if you think you're being clever or folksy with that, but, don't.
Well, maybe they don't know your name.
Oh,
everybody knows your name.
Yeah. I mean, clearly. I mean, come on.
You're a big star.
I'm local podcast tough guy. I mean, are you kidding me? It's not like it's the Jewish space laser in there where he's got so many nicknames no one can keep up on him. You know, Mike's got a lot of, he's.
You realize all of those nicknames are from you two, right?
Oh.
Look, people know you by lots of different names, Mike.
Hey, pipe down, boss.
Yeah, really, beefsteak, Mike.
Hey,
don't call me boss, friend.
Oh, friend. Now that's a nice one.
I prefer friendo.
Because I think that when you have the guy who says, who calls people boss and buddy, and I don't know, are there others?
Well, oh yeah, you got chief, pal.
Chief, that's the worst. I feel like that's very condescending.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's more of the, I forgot your name, so here's a generic title to sound relatable.
I would rather someone just go with you than big dog.
I have another take on it. I don't think it's that they forgot your name. It's that they don't care what your name is.
Sure.
They just call everybody that.
Yeah.
That's that guy.
Well, but that's, I have
one. It's not a good look, really.
Well, I have my very best friend in the world calls everyone buddy. He calls me buddy. I've been friends with that guy for, 18 years.
He doesn't call you boss?
Nah, I'm a buddy, but everyone's buddy. Hey, buddy.
Big guy?
Yeah, it's like a Kramer sort of thing on Seinfeld.
He called me buddy once, and I had never met him before. Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Are we actually buddies?
No, he just calls everybody buddy.
Actually, with him, he probably is everyone's friend. He's like a puppy. He just runs around. He's very excited about a lot of things.
What about Bud?
Hey, what's your problem, Bud? But I don't know why. I don't know why boss lately has been bothering me.
Guy.
Yeah.
Hey, guy.
But, that's...
It's just not good.
I got like three bosses. This was like 2 or 3 days ago. I got three bosses in the span of like maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I was like, really? Like, did I miss a memo? Why all of a sudden is everyone going with boss? But the big dog thing, Mike, Beefsteak Mike probably gets this too. The acknowledgement of your size, that just baffles me. It's just...
Big fella?
Yeah, like what? Like if I came up to you and I'd be like, hey, what's up, little guy? It's weird. It's just weird.
That's a good point.
I understand. Mike, and I'm a large individual. Mike's a large individual. You don't have to remind me of that. I'm well aware.
My nickname in college to most of my friends was Big Mike.
Yeah.
And to this day.
So clever.
To this day, where nobody else calls me that anymore, if one of them like calls me or texts me or something, hey, Big Mike. Great.
Well, and
I love this name.
I'm cursed with it because when I first got here, what it was 17, 18 years ago when I started doing this.
Big Mike.
The great Alan Davis wanted Ian Furness, who was here, and Ian knew me from college, and he called me Suk. Everyone called me Suk. And one day, Ian just inadvertently was like, what's up, Big Sook? And he just threw it out there. And Alan Davis, our program director, loved it. He was like, oh, my God. Yes. The Big Sook. And I was like, can we just not do And I was like, can we just, I'm fine. Like, I get it. You want, like, the nickname. Can it just be, you know, with Ian and Sook? Can we just go with that? No. No, he insisted on it being Big Sook. And now, you know, you can't really complain when I've tried over the years, if you've noticed, we've tried to drop the Big and just go with,
I was just about to say,
Isaac and Sook.
I don't think that the Big is really a thing anymore.
Yeah,
with you.
I've tried over
I'm gonna bring it back now.
I've tried over the years to segue away from the Big Sook.
So along with Big Sook and Big Mike, I'm Little Isaac.
Yes. Wouldn't you be weird if some random person just came up to you and was like, what's up, little man?
Well,
what are you, 12?
I'm not very little, but
no.
For little people, yeah, I would think that would be offensive. But you're right, it's not offensive for, I mean, people don't think it's offensive to big people.
No.
Like, hey, fatty. How are you, fat butt?
Yeah. And I don't know if offensive is the right word. You're just like, okay, that's wonderful. And I'd like to point out for the record, neither Mike or me, not that big. It's not like it's like,
yeah, but you're big to other people.
We are large. We have big frames.
Yes.
But we're not like giant fat people.
Or just you meet the guy that's just that's just enormous, right? Like, I played with guys that just walking around are 330. And they're not necessarily fat. They're just enormous human beings.
You played football though, dude.
Yes.
Most people didn't play football. You are one of the biggest people they'll see. Besides the 6'7" guy in the airport, and then they just stare for 8 hours.
Yeah, at least
it's like, oh my God, I've never seen that size of guy in my life.
Heaven forbid you're like 6'7" and black, because then all anyone's going to give you is, hey, where'd you play basketball? I don't know. I'm sure there's some large African-American gentlemen that didn't play hoop somewhere, and everyone's very disappointed.
To be fair, I'm not sure that's race related. I think anybody who's that tall is going to be, hey, did you play basketball?
That's
really?
Right.
Yes.
Anyone that tall, it's like, oh man, he must have played ball.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm 6'4", people my height, people ask me, oh, you must have played basketball. No, not really.
Yeah, I'm Damian Lillard's height.
They ask me that too.
Well, I mean, that goes without saying. I mean,
you did play basketball.
I mean, you're
before the knee injury.
Physical, you were a star. Perfection.
I have something that I found out that I think is amazing. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
Nah.
No, thanks, bud.
Big Mike says no. Boy, you lobbed that up over the net, and Mike just came through with the tomahawk smash.
What about Bubba? No, thanks, Bubba.
Yeah. My former in-law, which, by the way, bite me, he would call me Bubba, and it drove me effing crazy. And it wasn't, you know. I just don't think Bubba is ever unless you're like Bubba Wallace, I don't think Bubba is ever, there's not a good connotation to that.
My dad called me Bubba as a kid.
Did he?
Yeah. I never really knew why, but I went with it.
Okay. I see Bubba as kind of that's a Midwest Kansas sort of thing. I can
like,
see
hey, Bubba.
Yeah.
All right. So I was in there with Swigard awaiting the end of the Dirt and Sprague show, the second to last midday Dirt and Sprague show.
Oh, yeah.
Can you believe that?
Yeah. Well, I can't believe it.
Their farewell show is tomorrow.
I've heard the promos.
Tomorrow from noon to 3.
You think someone's tuning in and is like, oh my God, those guys got fired?
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
That will happen on Monday.
And Tuesday.
And Wednesday.
And Thursday.
And Friday.
And Monday.
And Tuesday.
And Wednesday.
And Thursday.
And Friday.
Hey, what happened to Dirt and Spray? I've been out of town. What's going on? Yeah.
Those guys get fired? No. Just moving.
They're moving to the mornings.
Moving around the corner.
If you didn't know. So anyway, I was in there with Swigard, and he was bitching about some scheduling snafus with college basketball start times. something that I didn't care about.
Well, he's got to like arrange stuff, and I think that all of the, you know, hey, by the way, we've got a game now at 5:30. I think in his world, that kind of throws everything for a bit of a loop.
Yeah, so anyway, I didn't care. I was like, well, who, you know, Swigard... No one's listening to this crap anyway.
All right.
So anyway, he does the Pilots broadcast, you know, Portland Pilots.
You are correct.
From his couch.
Yeah, and I asked him that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said he's done 2 games from home, and I said, hey, you're at home. How do you, like, the Pilots aren't always on TV. How do you have a feed of the game? Mm-hmm. And he said, well, he's got some sort of stream.
It's like WCC streaming something or other.
And I said, well, wait a minute. What happens if the stream goes out? You know, every once in a while it buffers or it freezes or whatever.
Oh, boy.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's calling the game by himself. He has no color guy.
Miles away from wherever they're playing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've never really thought that calling a game in person versus TV was all that much different. Although I've never really called games. I think you can do it just fine watching a feed as opposed to being courtside. See, it's not that hard.
I would think it. Look, I'm with you that you can do it, but I would assume, because I've done some color, I would think that would be way more challenging than
well, I think it would be harder on the color guy.
Yeah.
Than the play-by-play guy. Color guy needs to
There's context dig there. In there.
Okay, so he said, he goes, you know what, it's happened before. And he goes, you just go through it.
What do you mean you just go through it?
That's what I said. I said, that is amazing.
You make it up?
I said, Swigard, that is low-key incredible that you are able to call a game from your house of which you cannot see.
I don't think you can.
And I said, well, he said he's done it. Now, he said it hasn't lasted more than like 10 or 15 seconds. So you basically just fake it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You have to just make stuff up.
Well, of course.
But like,
they're listening on the radio. They don't know any different.
Well, not only that, but you can follow along in the box score, he said.
Oh, does he have like a live updating play-by-play?
Yeah, he's got that.
Huh.
So he said it's never lasted longer than 10 or 15 seconds, which I desperately want it to now.
Yeah.
I would tune in for that.
I don't know what you would do. I'm guessing
a full minute and a half of no feed swag play-by-play.
Give me 5 minutes of Swigard trying to piece that game together via the stat sheet.
I'm guessing that
you want to talk about talent?
Yes.
That is not easy.
If that thing goes out for 30 seconds, that has to be the longest 30 seconds of your broadcast life.
No question.
You have to hit a little panic.
And you have nobody.
No.
Nobody to do the show with. Like, it's just you.
It's just you.
And you can't really go to break because there's only so many breaks in those games.
We've had that. Like, that's the same thing, but like you're reading like a report or something and there's a tagline at the end of it you have to read and you can't find it. And it seems, and I'm sure it's only 3 or 4 seconds while you look, but in your mind you're like, oh my God, I haven't said anything in 9 minutes. And yep. There's just a mad scramble and you're like, just break. It's just, it's an awful feeling. I can't imagine.
That was my first ever time on the radio at Syracuse. I just lost my train of thought. And the 3 seconds before I picked it back up felt like an eternity.
Yeah. It always feels longer.
And then so I went back and listened and I was like, oh, that wasn't so bad. No. But in the moment I'm like, ah, speak, please use words.
I can assume that being a play-by-play, that's the worst thing to happen to you. But like I've told the story of back when we used to have Max 910, the Guy Talk station here. Before it was like the ESPN repeater, we had like it was like Guy Talk, but we would still do sports snorts. That's where that term came from. And
yeah, that's what they called them.
Yeah, sports snorts. And we had a guy, it was a Saturday morning, and I was driving around, I was taking my kids to like a soccer game or whatever. And I've never seen panic quite like that. He kept screwing up and where he was reading a score but not giving the team name. And then he clearly noticed what he was doing. Then he started panicking and he started reading the team names but not giving the score. And then he just kind of started stammering and then it just ended. He just stopped.
He just bailed.
And
I'm out.
I was like, oh, my God.
That was the great Eric McAvoy.
Yes. I didn't want to call him out, but yes. It was like Pittsburgh's playing Philadelphia. It's 35-36.
Well, it didn't help that he was very inexperienced at it in the first place.
But then you could just see you could hear the wheels turning and then just I'm done. And he just let the music bed run out and then that was it. It just went to commercial. And
I remember
Did he walk out of the building and leave forever?
I don't know.
He never really. Yeah, he went back to Michigan, and I don't know what he's not a radio professional.
Look, I don't think you recover from that.
Yeah, I know.
I think
may have been his sign.
Well,
you know, it's like,
you know, there's injuries, right, that you rehab from. You tear an ACL, and then there's career enders.
Or you're like Nathan Peterman, you know?
Yeah, you just get back on the horse. Hey,
it's like, you
seven
know what?
Picks.
Maybe I'm not cut out for this. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know what ended up happening to Eric McAvoy. He was a hell of a nice guy, though.
He was. It was alternating between that's
drinker.
The best thing I've ever heard and, you're going to get a call from the boss. You're going to get a call from the boss on that one.
Nah, see, the boss at that time was Alan Davis. One, he wasn't listening. And two, if he was, he would just turn it off in disgust and fire the kid.
I'm done.
You're done. Do not bother to come back in.
No. Don't pass go. You don't collect your $4 an hour. You're just finished.
So anyway, low-key badass Jason Swigard on the Pilots broadcast. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
should it buffer?
I thought he was doing that from the Child Center. Like I
no.
Oh,
I mean,
he was at one.
He
point.
He has at times, but I think recently he's been at home.
Because I was asking.
Well,
him,
he doesn't travel with them.
No, I was asking, but that's probably what it is, the road games. Because the home, I know he was going to eat. Because he'll tell you. Whether you want to know it or not, if you sit down with Swigart, he will tell you what he's having for dinner, what he did over the weekend, life's aspirations, and you know what's happening with the Portland Pilots. And he mentioned the Child Center, and I was like, there's no fans? And he was like, no. And I just thought, how awkward is that with your screaming voice in an empty building where all the players can hear you? So I know he's some of those, but you're right. The travel games, he's probably sitting there. I think he's wearing pants when that's going down.
Probably not.
He says he still wears his polo shirt.
Does he?
Yeah.
Like it's a mindset, like professional sort of thing?
Yeah. I think Dirt and Sprague asked him what he wore, and he just said, no, polo shirt and some pants. I would do those games naked.
Totally.
Just sit there.
I think there's something to
flopping around.
Pull a Jeffrey Tubing or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Was that guy's name?
I think it was.
Jeffrey Tubing?
Yeah, that was doing.
It was Tubin.
Tubin.
Yeah, he was doing the fake like impeachment trial or whatever, and he was pulling a Donald Duck.
I don't know what that means, but he had his ween out.
Top no pants.
He was doing the bottomless party.
He had his pants on. He just pulled his ween out at a break.
Oh, I thought for whatever reason he wasn't wearing.
Because they were doing a thing and everything was fine, and then they took a break and he thought he was off line and he wasn't, and he pulled out his pud.
See, I'm assuming that some people, you can call it Donald Duck, you can say going Porky Pig, whatever you want to use. The top no bottoms, it's a bold look. For
I don't
any,
know why you would ever do that.
No man, I don't care how good looking you are, Jason Momoa, David Beckham, the best looking guy in the world. It's just not.
It's just awkward.
It is not a good look. Especially,
like being called Jack.
Yes.
Like, put some pants on, Jack.
Yeah, it's very strange. So any guy that's all thinking right. about trying that, don't. Your lady is not going to be happy when you walk into the room wearing a Hawaiian shirt, some hirachis, and then you're, you know, swinging in the breeze.
Yeah. That's not the good part.
It's not an attractive sort of. No.
Theoretically, the good part is north of there, but, yes, but for some of us, it's still not.
Now, gals on the other.
You gotta go way north.
Gals on the other, to your baby blues.
Yeah.
The gals on the other hand, it's a great look.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a man,
yeah,
like
is.
A man's dress shirt with,
yes, with
you know,
nothing.
With
maybe
nothing.
A golf visor. What?
There. We're now what? Getting into the realm. Do you role play with your wife? Did you make her dress up as a caddy?
A caddy?
Yeah.
I don't want to kink shame or anything, but what is the appeal of the golf visor?
Well, it's like a hat, you know.
I just picture Rob like
kind of sexy.
I picture Nurse Nice in one of those like Masters like onesie sort of things, but like kind of unzipped.
It's Rob's, like a hat.
That's a good idea.
Rob shooting for birdie, possibly eagle. Dare I say, hole in one?
All right. Well, on that great joke, we're going to break.
Back nine?
Oh.
Yeah.
Improved, but still bad.
I appreciate that.
A try.
It was not bad. Don't listen to him.
Careful getting stuck in the bunker.
Really thick rough.
Now, I enjoyed that. That was nice.
Got to get it in the hole.
Yeah, that was well played.
So Russell Wilson is possibly going to be traded, and that's what we're going to talk about.
That is what we're going to talk about.
All right.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting.
Sandy Parr.
Be right back.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, are you a Trailblazers fan?
Blazers.
If you are, you want to hear our next segment. It is a can't miss because it is our weekly hit with Trailblazers fan insider Jason Quick.
Bumped up today because, well, Oregon basketball.
Yeah, we're off a little bit early tonight. Oregon is playing Stanford. The game will be on at 5:30. Quick usually joins us 5:15, but in the interest of giving him as much time as we need to cover all things Blazers, we'll interview him in our next segment, and we'll find out the latest on the injuries to CJ McCollum, Yusuf Nurkic. You know, maybe the Blazers can get somewhat healthy soon here.
Yeah. And by the way, don't yell at us about Oregon basketball. That is beyond our pay grade. Just
oh.
Get a lot of complaining about that.
Why would they complain?
I mean, who
does? They're
doesn't?
On a run.
Yes.
Didn't they? Wait, they lost to USC the other night.
They did, but for the most part.
Tell you what, I wouldn't want to play them in the tournament.
They always get to go in this time of the year. But, you know, some people, you can't please them, right? They hate us. They hate basketball. What do you want? I don't know what to tell you.
The worst guy is the guy that tunes in and wants you to talk about exactly what he wants you to talk about for the 5 minutes that he's listening.
And if not, you can go to hell.
As
clowns.
If we're supposed to know
sorry,
what you want to hear, what you specifically want to hear and when you're tuning in.
Yes.
That's my favorite guy.
My favorite guy is the guy that tells you when he's leaving. You know what? I'm done. Never listening again. Thanks for the heads up.
Bye.
See you tomorrow, by the way.
Here's our poll question. Guys, pertains to Russell Wilson, dangerous, Mr. Unlimited.
Boy, this kind of escalated quickly.
Boy, it sure did, didn't it?
Yeah, when this came out, when he was making the rounds after the Super Bowl. I would have thought that that's just like a big nothing burger. And then you're like, well, man, it's kind of still hanging out there. And
well, it's starting to come together.
Yeah.
How it all has gone down.
Yeah.
And you can see why now both sides are kind of pissed.
Yeah.
So the poll question today, 1080thefan.com. It is brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, family business, helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. How much control should franchise quarterbacks get over their offenses? Most of it, quite a bit, only some, or leave it to the coaches.
I would go squarely in the camp of quite a bit.
Quite a bit?
You can't turn it over to them.
Yeah, they shouldn't get most of it.
Where I draw the line is personnel, right? You can't. There's so much more that goes into to building a roster than just, well, I'd like the best players. And for the most part, I say that if you've got a franchise quarterback, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, whatever, insert franchise quarterback there, you do everything you can to make him feel comfortable, right? And I get that, you know, it's at times it can feel like you're kissing his ass, but you kind of have to kiss his ass. There in every company on earth, for every family dynamic, there's always someone that's going to get special treatment because they deserve it. And it's the most important position in all of sports. That being said, you know, Russell Wilson is out there right now, you know, is like, well, I would like to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. I want an elite defense and I want a great offensive line. Well, guess what, Russ? So does every quarterback in the world. But that's not the way the reality works. There's only so much money to go around, and it's quite challenging when we're paying you what we're paying you. We can't invest in the offensive line like we used to. And by the way, you want receivers as well, and you want backs. You have to make sacrifices. So from that standpoint, yes, it's a little deviant, like a diva-ish sort of move of Russ to be doing that. But at the same time, it is fascinating that you now have two, without question, top five quarterbacks in the league, and both of them are at great odds with their franchises, and they've actually had some success. Russ has won a Super Bowl and is a playoff team, and Deshaun Watson continually goes to the playoffs. So it's a weird dynamic. You normally just don't see this.
So it clearly pissed off the franchise when Wilson took to the media to air his grievances after the season.
Yes.
And now the franchise is striking back.
Yeah.
Because there's an article in The Athletic today that takes a close look at what is happening between Russell Wilson and the team.
And how they got here.
It is clearly from the franchise perspective.
Yes.
So they want their side of the story out. And here is what, here's just an excerpt. It's kind of a long piece, but here is what that story says. Okay, so do you remember when Russ was cooking? Let Russ cook.
I do remember that.
Great offense, first seven or eight games or whatever it was. He was MVP candidate. Well, then the Bills game happened and he turned it over four times. I remember betting on Seattle in that game and that was obnoxious.
It was bad.
And then they had another bad game against the Rams. So in those two games, Wilson had seven turnovers and that spooked Pete Carroll. So here's what happened next, according to The Athletic. Before the Thursday night game against Arizona, this is right after the Rams game, so they have a quick turnaround the next week, Wilson met with his coaches. For some time, Wilson has sought, even pushed for, influence within the organization regarding scheme and personnel. In the meeting, he outlined his own ideas for how to fix the offense. His suggestions were dismissed. Multiple sources told The Athletic, another reminder to Wilson that the Seahawks did not see him the same way he saw himself. As a player who had earned greater control over his situation, his future, his legacy, he stormed out of the room.
That's, and it's amazing because none of this got out up until now.
And then their offense got
It got bad.
Decidedly worse the rest of the way.
And remember, it was a couple weeks later that they had that giant stinker where they scored like 12 points, 14 points, something like that against the Giants. And that thing was brutal. And, you know, and it never was the same after that. And then after the season, we had Pete Carroll coming out and saying that we need to develop a run game and basically a better short passing game, taking a big giant steamer over Seattle, who had been a big play offense. And that was the whole let Russ cook thing. So to be fair, Russell took some shots at Seattle. Pete Carroll took some shots at Russ afterwards. So you have a full on whizzing contest. And then the other thing that came out, which
by the way, they won that Arizona game. Do you remember that game? They beat them.
Did they?
Yep. And they won the next one too.
Yeah. And then came the Giants game, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So that's they lost two and then won. Then they beat the Cardinals and the Eagles, and then they got clipped by the Giants. And then they won after that, but it was kind of a, you know, it was against bad teams. It also came out in there that I guess in 2017, and this was kind of interesting, because we've never seen a team move on from a Pro Bowl quarterback in its prime. Just hasn't happened. Jay Cutler is the closest thing to that, where they just said, you know what? Nope, thanks for coming. It doesn't happen. And supposedly in 2017, Schneider was eyeing a replacement for Russell Wilson and was going to go cheap for another 5 years. That replacement, Patrick Mahomes. And had he fallen to Seattle, they would have pulled the trigger. And he would have been the heir apparent, and they would have moved on from Russ.
Do you think that's just them kind of tossing that out there, though? That's Rappaport.
It's possible.
Ian Rappaport reported that. And I think that guy, he's borderline hack. Like, he clearly disseminates
stuff
that's in the interest of the franchise. I mean, I don't know how true that is.
All of this, though, is coming from the standpoint of the franchise.
Well, the Athletic stuff, yeah. But, I mean, if it's a story that can be corroborated, that's one thing. If it's just, hey, I really want you to print this. I feel like Ian Rappaport is one of those guys where a GM will say, hey, I want this out there. Can you float this? And he'll just do it, whether it's true or not.
What I don't understand about that, like that, by the way, I agree. That happens all the time. Like, are you trying to make yourself look smart in saying that, hey, I knew that Patrick Mahomes was going to be this great? Or was this just an FU to Russell Wilson, another FU saying you're replaceable? Why are you
the latter?
Why are you trying? And this is the part I don't get. Why are you trying to piss off your franchise quarterback?
I don't think they are. I think he pissed them off.
And so this is just
it's a pissing contest.
And it seems to me that they are.
He pissed them off because he has been wanting. Now you can side with whoever you want. I tend to side with Russell because he is that franchise. And quite frankly, I think you should listen to him when it comes to personnel in the offense.
Yeah.
Within reason, obviously.
Sure.
But he seems like a reasonable guy. So I don't think he was asking for too much there. And Pete Carroll's very stubborn. And so if they're butting heads, you know, and then Russ goes to the media, I can see why he pissed off the Seahawks. But, you know, this is it's a classic case. You got it. You may not agree with him, but you got to take care of your franchise QB, man.
Well, and I wonder too.
That's your ticket.
In the story, they talk about one of the things that started the fight here in Seattle wasn't between Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. It was the fact that, remember, early on, it was Richard Sherman in the defense being pissed that Russell Wilson was getting too much credit and kind of the kid's glove treatment by Pete Carroll. And is this a matter of fact of, if Pete has always had his back and now feels that he's being stabbed in the back by Russell Wilson, maybe there's some betrayal too. Look, this just isn't good. This is not good at all. This is all bad.
There are some teams that have been named by Wilson's camp. So it's escalated to that point. We'll get to that coming up here in a bit. But up next, our Fan Blazers insider, Jason Quick, has the latest on their injuries, including CJ McCollum. He joins us when we return. Here's Mike. It's Thursday. That means Jason Quick, our Fan Blazers insider. He's joining us a little early again today because we have Ducks basketball in the 5 o'clock hour. Here is Jason. They are off tonight. We'll be taking on the Lakers tomorrow. Jace, how are you?
I'm doing well. Good to hear you again, Isaac. I missed you last week.
Well, I missed you. You were the one reason I wanted to be here on Thursday. No offense to Big Soup.
Yeah, my feelings are hurt.
Hey, do you have quick updates on the injuries at all? CJ, Nurkic, anything?
No, we'll learn more on March 2nd. I forget which day that is. I think it's Tuesday.
That is Tuesday.
That's when they both are going to be evaluated, and we'll get an idea then of when they'll be returning. I don't think they'll be back before the All-Star break, because the All-Star break is a week long. So why not get them another week of rest and able to get back in shape and all that? So I think it's probably feasible for one, if not both of them, to return shortly after the All-Star break, which is March 11th.
And there's no real need to rush this thing, right? I mean, the seeding at this point, I mean, you got plenty of time left to kind of make a push here. I would assume that a 3 or 4 game difference here isn't the end of the world of the Blazers right now.
No, because, I mean, particularly with CJ in the foot, you want to be careful with that, particularly because he's had problem with that foot before. So the main goal is to have them be good for the playoffs. That being said, I still think, you know, they're not going to totally drag their feet on this. When they're ready to play, the players will know, and then they'll put them in, because I still think it's important to get them back early enough where they can get the highest seed possible. And look, they're not out of the woods yet. It's not a lock that they're going to make the playoffs. So, you know, but my point is, I guess, is that they're going to be careful. Like you said, I don't think they're going to rush them if there's any way, shape, or form that they're feeling a little, you know, less than 100%.
And we haven't heard, I mean, there's all signs very positive. I haven't heard anything, or, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't hear anything and there's kind of like that simmering, maybe something's going on. I haven't heard any buzz about that.
No, matter of fact, I asked Terry's thoughts after the last game where they're at with CJ, and he said that the doctors are happy with the way the bone is healing. That being said, CJ hasn't been able to do a lot of stuff on the court because they're trying to keep him off his feet. He's still not running. He is shooting and doing some dribbling stuff, but I imagine that after they Tuesday's checkup, then they'll probably start ramping that stuff up where he runs and gets back into shape and all that. But, you know, it's interesting, during CJ's first evaluation, which was 2 weeks ago, or almost two weeks ago, they didn't even take images, which surprised me, of his foot. They just wanted to see it, look at it, and then, you know, kind of have him be on his way and be evaluated again in 2 weeks.
So he's probably out for the season, is what you're saying.
No.
As the Blazers go. And also, you know, it should be mentioned, you know, they're not going to mess around with this too much. You're right, because, you know, they're what, 4 games from the 2 seed, but they're only a half game from that play-in tournament, and they want to avoid that. And in a condensed schedule with so many back-to-backs and stuff, they've got to, you know, it's kind of it's dangerously go time. You know, I mean, they can't really mess around. It's too bunched up in the middle there.
I agree. Yeah, but I, again, the number one thing is to have these guys be available at 100% for the playoffs. And, you know, obviously they're going to be back well before then, but they're not going to risk bringing them back maybe 5 days too early because they have a big game against, say, Phoenix or Utah or something. They're going to play the long game here, because they're just too important.
All right. So 30 days from the trade deadline, should we be looking for the Blazers to be making any moves at all?
Absolutely. I think they're going to be players, and that's one reason why Neil Olshey has kept an open roster spot. A lot of people are saying, you know, why don't they bring on more people, another two-way guy, or fill their roster spot, because it's the COVID season and such a condensed season and injuries and all that. But he wanted to maintain flexibility, to be able to make, you know, maybe send two or one player out, get two, you know, he has that flexibility to make an uneven trade, by having that open roster spot. So, I do think that they will look to sign, a guy that will be a rotation player.
I'm assuming maybe, you know, a big, I don't know what's happening with Giles. Speaking of like puzzling injuries, do you know what's happening with him? And is that where this move gets made, is someone that can play the 4 and the 5?
If I had to guess, that's what I would think, Suk, that it would be a big. As far as Giles, we haven't been given any update on him, but I imagine that they'd want to sign somebody that's better than him, you know, a proven guy. I don't know if DeMarcus Cousins is on the radar. I would guess not, just because of his of his injury history. But, you know, I do think that it'll be a big, and I think it'll be a veteran.
I feel like Boogie was upset because he was playing behind Christian Wood, and here he would be playing behind Yusuf Nurkic, assuming he comes back. I don't know how well that would.
Cantor maybe too.
Well, and but probably I think, Cantor, yeah.
Yeah, but he might start. I mean, you might throw him a bone if you know, put Cantor back on the bench. But if Nurkic is healthy, you know, it's the same situation as Houston. I don't know about that one. Are there other names out there, right, like Andre Drummond? Is that a possibility?
No, I don't think so. Just because he's makes so much money.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got a month to cover that. Have we decided whether or not Gary Trent is a good defender or not? That seems to be a debate.
I think he's serviceable, but I don't think he's a great, like, shutdown. I think his reputation has been inflated. He's not a shutdown, lock-you-up type defender. But I think he gives effort, and that is half the battle.
Is there any hope that he develops any part of an offensive game outside of shooting, or is it just, you know, hey, he's second round pick and he's developed into a, you know, into a solid player, you know, starter. So it's, am I asking too much for a rebound every now and then?
Yes, you are.
Probably. You know, it is still early in his career, and I think there's hope that he can develop into becoming more of a well-rounded player, you know, getting some assists, getting some rebounds. But, you know, at this point, that's nitpicking. Right now, I think people have to be really ecstatic with what they're getting from Gary Trent, who, you know, a reminder, he was a second-round pick. So I think he's going to be really valuable in a playoff series when teams really try to lock down Dame and CJ. He's going to be that guy who can hit that open three that the Blazers haven't had that guy during the Lillard era. The guy who can consistently hit a three when they double and trap him and CJ.
You think Lillard's got a realistic shot at MVP?
I do. I really do. They'll have to keep winning, though. You know, I don't think if they're – I think they would have to be like a 2 or 3 seed in the West for him to kind of elevate into that conversation. If they kind of remain here in the 5th, 6th, I don't think that's impressive enough to overcome a Joel Embiid or a LeBron James.
It's funny because you hear that, like – I understand that way of thinking, but you hear it about Jokic and you hear it about, you know, Doncic. Do you have to have a Chich in the end of your name? Because Lillard's having as good a year, if not better than Luka. I mean, Jokic is a beast. We saw that. But they don't get that same sort of, the team has to be a top three than Lillard does.
Well, I don't think Luka's in the conversation this year. You know, I think people thought he would be at the beginning of the year, but I don't see him in any of these straw polls that I've taken part in and any conversations that Luka's in it. Jokic, yes. But, you know, he's so unique in what he does. I mean, he puts it up all across the board, points, rebounds, assists. And I think Denver's still going to be a very good team when it's all said and done. So I think the bottom line with Dame is going to be just how good the Blazers are. How good can he elevate them? Because he's going to have kind of those extra intangibles as far as elevating an underdog, and the way he does it. He does it in a very visible way because of his late game heroics. He has such a large resume of late game shots that it really kind of helps his candidacy.
Can you real quick try to explain to me the need to stop Enes Kanter picking up Jokic 40 feet from the hoop with no hoop or no help?
That was bizarre, wasn't it? And it's funny because the coaches were right there motioning him to do that, you know, that he was just following instructions. So I didn't get that. You know, certainly didn't cost him the game, but that was a very key moment and they got burned.
What topics are you working on? What stories?
Actually, I'm working on a big piece on Lillard and Bradley Beal, how they are kind of unique stars. And this is going to publish around the All-Star game. They're the two stars who are not looking to be traded and not looking to form a super team with other of their friends. They want to win and do it with the teams that drafted them by staying in town and doing it their way. And they have both talked about this with each other. And so I'm kind of writing a piece about the similarities between them and what kind of motivates them to be loyal to their franchises.
I understand Lillard a little bit, but the Bradley Beal one, I'm not going to lie. That puzzles me. Like, that screams, get me the hell out of here.
Yeah. You know, I haven't really been able to get in depth on that yet with him. And I'm working on this with a colleague, Fred Katz, who covers the Wizards. And I'm going to be interested to hear what Bradley has to say about that. But he has been very much like Lillard in being vocal and saying, no, I want to stay here. It means something to me. And they consistently throw out the word loyalty. And, you know, I think that's pretty unique in today's professional sports, particularly NBA.
All right, sir. Well, we'll talk to you next week. Have a great week.
Okay. See you guys.
Okay. Bye. There's Jason Quick, guys.
Yeah, at least Lillard's had some success in postseason, and, you know, it's not a dysfunctional franchise. What the hell is Bradley Beal doing?
Is he from there?
I don't know where. I thought he was a California guy, but I could be wrong.
He is kind of a weird star, man. He's leading the league in scoring.
Yeah, he scores 40. And
he's awesome.
And they lose. Yeah. Like, I think it's like the last like 12 times he scored 40 points. He's from St. Louis.
Oh, well, they don't have an NBA team, so.
Oh, yeah, and he went to Florida. I just, it's very odd.
That's right. He's like, a Florida kid.
He's the most.
Maybe he just likes living in D.C. It's a nice city.
He just gets this, like, all the tud he could want, and he's like, I make a, you know, bunch of money. And
maybe he's into politics.
I don't know. It's just bizarre to me that of all the guys that should be like, you know what, I'm done. He just sits there and quietly goes about his business and loses. Hmm.
All right, back to Dangerous coming up, 351 on The Fan.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, back to this Russell Wilson matter, bro. He and the Seahawks are not seeing eye to eye.
Bit of a tiff.
Hey, Seattle.
Adam Schefter's latest tweet is, Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson has not demanded a trade. His agent Mark Rogers told ESPN, Wilson has told the Seahawks he wants to play in Seattle, but if a trade were considered, the only teams he would go to are the Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, and Bears.
And he does have Bears. He does have a no trade clause. So
Bears one is weird.
He has some leverage there. Good offensive line, though. And I think there's a commonality here with that is he wants to play. All good offensive lines. It was interesting, though, because the report today early on was is that he had demanded a trade. And then you get the agent coming out and being like, whoa, 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 not so fast. Not saying we want to trade, but if you'd like to trade us.
Weird.
This is just both sides are trying to get their message out and control the spin. But at this point, we knew that there was some tension going on. There was enough smoke, but this appears to be more than a little tension. Now, people that are really in the know, Durant Sprague had their Seahawks insider on and was listening to some of the stuff up at KGR. Most people put this as a fairly an outside chance anything happens this year. But the cap ramifications are huge. It's like 36, 38 million bucks that Seattle would have to gobble up in dead money if they did deal Russell Wilson. So
But we've seen massive contracts. We've seen the Eagles just took a $30+ million hit and Carson Wentz. So it's not inconceivable, but each year it goes down a little bit. Next year it's into the 20s, and the year after that it's 13 mil. So I think this is more along the lines of, it feels like the divorce is coming, right? There's some counseling that's going to go on. Some winning solves everything, but it sure feels like this is going down a certain road. But most people that are close to the team don't believe that anything is imminent. But if you had Miami that called up and offered Tua and offered a couple ones and a two.
Because two ones, a two, and Tua?
Yeah. Or
you don't really like Tua.
Well, maybe not, but you still have the number three overall pick. The key is any situation where you're moving on from a Deshaun Watson or a Russell Wilson, the main component is not going to be number one picks. Like, you, if you gave me three, you know, picks, but they were going to be in the 20s, they're going to give you the middle finger. You're not finding your quarterback more than likely in the 20s. Now, if you offer multiple picks, and in those picks, the ability to get a franchise quarterback, that's how this comes to be. The only way Houston or Seattle agrees to this is that if in your deal, you provide them with an opportunity and a very clear one to acquire their next franchise quarterback and acquire him on the cheap. Because again, if you're getting rid of Watson, you're getting rid of Wilson, you're taking a massive financial hit. Your quarterback has to be dirt cheap. And has to be cheap going forward. So that's where, if you've got a top three or four pick in a very quarterback friendly draft, and that's why I thought it was interesting when Seattle kind of leaked the fact that they had looked at Mahomes back in 2017, who was far from a sure thing at that point, but they liked him. So if you're Seattle and you're eyeing Justin Fields, Trey Lance, you're eyeing Zach Wilson, someone like that, and someone calls up and says, hey, we got the number three overall pick, and we'll give you two more ones and a two, and we'll throw in a player if you want, maybe even two if you want to be a bridge quarterback. Now, all of a sudden, I think that is a very intriguing package. But the teams that he asked for, Chicago, Dallas, New Orleans, and who wasn't there one other?
Raiders.
None of them provide that sort of leverage. You would have to use your capital to then move up in the top part of the draft. So that's another reason why I think that's a little misleading, for Russell Wilson to be like, well, I'll get dealt here. Well, Seattle's not going to do that unless someone hands them their franchise quarterback.
Well, there were two other teams mentioned in another set of reports earlier in the day. We'll get to those next. And why it seems like people are now piling on Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Let's get into that.
It's starting to turn.
Interesting.
Yep.
What's happening. And sides are being taken. So we'll get to that next on The Fan.